to our committee. Your presidency is happening at a very interesting time for the bloc, for the European Union, the challenges Europe is facing today, and leadership obviously is key in these times of which are some uncertain times and difficult times for everyone. Leadership is key and indispensable. Please, your presentation.
Mr. President, good afternoon once again to you and your colleague from the committee. I thank you very much for this opportunity to be here in Malta to talk a little bit about the Czech presidency. I was here quite a number of months ago, actually, when still before our presidency, and I was giving an outline to your predecessors, actually, at that time, about what we envisaged to do. And when I reflect up in that time, I have to say it was still before the invasion of Russia into Ukraine. And naturally, our priorities had to change fundamentally. I mean, we did not, I think nobody really expected anything like that to happen, even though we were kind of having indications. We saw the negative development in Russia for quite a number of years, actually, worsening the situation with respect to human rights. I mean, democracy, I mean, stopped really existing. I mean, there was an increasing pressure on everybody who wanted to say anything different from what the president was saying. But still, I mean, the invasion into a sovereign country is such a dramatic decision and such a denounceable decision that I think none of the European countries really expected anything like this to happen. So we had to change fundamentally our priorities, our thinking before we entered. We already were having an example, of course, by France, who had to change their course of action also after the February invasion. So if you, I don't know how we do it, but if you permit, and somebody's okay having a colleague of mine, Milan Touš here, let me introduce him also, because he's a person who deals with European Union affairs at our embassy in Rome. So he will lead us through the priorities as we have formulated them. And I will try to commend them, of course, and I'm prepared to respond to any questions I am able to answer, of course, being solely an ambassador, not the minister. But I'll go through the priorities, so we can really start another one. That was the beginning. We have actually grouped the priorities into five major points. The first one, of course, reflected the invasion, and that naturally related to managing the refugee crisis and the post-war recovery of Ukraine. I think at that time we were still a little bit optimistic because we were talking about post-war recovery of Ukraine. Of course, it cannot happen yet. But at the same time, it is a very important item on the agenda that we have to keep in mind. Refugee crisis, I think I'm speaking to people who are having a lot of experience with migration. So there is nothing I can tell you, nothing new I can tell you. The only difference really is the enormity of the refugee wave that flooded practically all the European countries and first and foremost the neighboring, quasi-neighboring countries of Ukraine. I can tell you an example of the Czech Republic, which is having on its territory at the moment around 400,000 refugees. These are mostly women and children. Of course, men are practically staying, or those who were working actually on the territory of the Czech Republic returned to Ukraine to get engaged in the Ukrainian military for the defense. So we are having around 400,000 people who really need a lot of care, a lot of assistance. Now we started the school year. There are a lot of children who need to be educated, integrated into the school system, which is not such an easy task, of course. Even though our languages are not so distant, still there are a lot of differences and not easy to integrate the children into the school system. There was enormous pressure on the state system to provide the conditions, especially at the beginning of the crisis. I think now we have more or less stabilized our system, and in a way we can really take care of that number of refugees. There are actually millions of people in Poland. There are hundreds of thousands in Slovakia. There are hundreds of thousands in Hungary. And of course, I mean, we can go on towards our Western neighbors, Germany and other countries, where they are having also a lot of them to take care of. So this is a major element. Of course, we have to continue supporting Ukraine. I mean, we have seen the intensification of the threats and also of the action. I mean, what was happening yesterday and today on the territory of Ukraine is absolutely repulsive. I mean, this is something that was happening in the Second World War, bombing these people were civilians, pure civilians, who have nothing to do with what is happening on the front is absolutely unacceptable. Also, I would like to say that we all in European Union, of course, together with Malta, and very much appreciate Malta's positions, are denouncing what is called the referenda. And I was reading an article yesterday saying that we really should not use this word. And I think it's absolutely right. It was nothing, it had nothing to do with anything that is close to referendum, so we really should avoid even pronouncing these words with respect to what Russia staged in the four regions of Ukraine, and it was very similar to what they staged in Crimea, and to a certain extent what they staged in South Ossetia in 2008, which, as you know, was actually the first military attack permitted, I mean, in the succession that culminated in what we see now in Ukraine. We are really trying to provide, as the presidency, for the unity of the European Union, because it is absolutely essential that we keep the unity, but we also keep the action going on. So all the activities on the political support, on the humanitarian support, and also on the military support. I, of course, am aware of the fact that Malta is a neutral country, but it is very important that European Union has provided also financial resources, and individual countries are providing military support for Ukraine to carry out its self-defense. Last point that I wanted to make, and I think I will do it with calling on Malta support, especially in view of your membership in the Security Council next year. My minister, when he was talking at the United Nations General Assembly this year, and also to the Security Council, he was calling for establishing an international tribunal to bring those who are committing war crimes to justice. We think it is really important. It is important even more now when we are facing the mobilization of the Russian population, because the people who are going to this war have to know that they are accountable. They are really accountable for what they are doing. So I wanted to call on Malta to support us in this call, because we think justice has to be made. When I recall the estimates that were made on the damage made so far, it is around 750 billion euros only so far. And somebody has to pay for this damage. Somebody will have to carry out the reconstruction. It is an enormous amount of money, and Russia has to be held responsible for this. So I'm expressing this as a really firm conviction on the part of the presidency, and I do believe that Malta will be supporting us in the call for justice. Energy security. I mean, if there were two really priorities of the priorities, then it's the first one and the second one, energy security, of course. Malta knows it. Energy security is actually an emergency element for all of us. We have called so far, I think, four emergency meetings of the ministers responsible for energy security. After the meeting of our leaders last week in Prague, the informal meeting, I think our ministers for energy will be practically in permanent session, as I understand it, to bring or to prepare the agenda for the 22nd October formal meeting of our leaders in Brussels. There have been a number of decisions already taken, but we are not at the end of the road. We know it. The energy prices are still very high, so we have not achieved yet the result we wanted to achieve. It is really damaging the economies practically all over Europe, and of course it is hitting a large part of our society. So we really have to continue working on energy security, both in terms of supplies, in terms of prices, and of course continue with respect to the obligations that we have taken with respect to the green agenda and transformation towards clean energy. European defence capacities and cybersecurity, again, a very important element. Perhaps here Malta, given its neutral status, might be having some, I don't want to say reservations, but of course, specific positions. I mean, being in a situation of the threat that we are facing at the moment, I think we have to increase the capacities of our defence from the part of the presidency and also from the part of a country that is, since 1999, a member of NATO. We are really convinced that we have to do it in collaboration with NATO and the United States as a major political and security partner to Europe. Strategic resilience of the European economy, again, something that is very inherently linked to the previous items. We have seen a lot of elements that work negatively with respect to European economies in recent years, also negative impact of globalization. We have to take that into account and really take steps to become a little bit more resilient than we are at the moment, also directing the production back or redirecting the production back into our countries, work very closely with other democratic countries. We have to realize the risks that are connected with undemocratic, with the investments into undemocratic countries, and all of that should gradually result in a higher or better resilience of the European economy as a whole. The last point that I don't want to, of course, leave aside is resilience of democratic institutions, something that is, of course, a very important element for all of us. We've been dealing with it under the General Affairs Council. Together with, I have to say, the elements that came out of the discussion on the Future of Europe conference, which are, of course, very important issues, the only kind of thing that we are having at the moment in mind is that perhaps there are a little bit hotter priorities for the moment than discussing our institutions, but we are not leaving it aside. So that brings me to the end of kind of talking a little bit about our presidency, of course. If there are any questions that I can respond. There have been a number of actually issues that I left out. There is a lot of legislative agenda. We are conducting trilateral dialogues with European institutions, etc., etc. You've been the committee that is dealing with it on a regular basis, so you know that, for example, on digital agenda, there have been really a tangible progress, and also on quite a number of other issues, but I don't want to go into further details, and with this, I give the floor back to you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, and thank you really very much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Excellency. You'd like to add something, or maybe if you have any comments? I have two short comments on the presentation. First of all, on the issue of neutrality, obviously, yes, we do have such a clause in our constitution, but as a country we cannot remain indifferent to such situation and such a crisis, and obviously the government of Malta has already made its commitment that it will continue to support the Ukrainian government, support the Ukrainian people. We already assisted by giving humanitarian aid, and also I think we have welcomed some patients in our health system which could not be able to being taken care of in their country, I believe, for some treatments here. I don't have but that is the spirit of what. On the call of justice you've made, I personally, as a member of parliament, because you said we are not the government out here, we agree with your call of justice and those who have been responsible for such crimes should be punished, or they should face justice. That is from my side. But I'm talking only as a parliamentarian on behalf of my committee here, which I don't know if you want to add something, maybe Mario, on these two topics and other topics which mentioned by the
concerns. Obviously, one of the priority areas is the issue of resilience of democratic institutions, and currently we're seeing, regrettably, also the advent of rightist parties within the European Union. So obviously we're seeing certain positions being taken by Hungary vis-à-vis Hungary. We've seen the latest electoral results in Italy, which could also be of some concern. How is the Czech Republic looking at working on this priority area within the light of current circumstances?
I think I can respond to this by saying, from the presidency's point of view, we are making very clear from the very beginning that we really don't want to leave this agenda aside, that it is important for the Czech Republic as well. I mean, rule of law is a fundamental, absolutely fundamental point on for the European Union as such. We all know it. There are regular dialogues conducted in the General Affairs Council. It goes on also with the countries with respect to which there have been concerns and objections raised. And I think it is a very good practice because, first of all, it's open to all members of the European Parliament. It's not directed to anyone specifically, so everybody is subject to the sort of scrutiny of the rule of law issues in their internal dealings. It does give an opportunity also to understand perhaps specific situations and to address the issues that are really not considered to be in line with the European Union expectations and obligations. Of course, we have been following as a country and also as a presidency what happened in the European Parliament. Now it is up to the bodies of the European Council that are dealing with it with respect to Hungary and also other countries. My understanding now, especially with respect to Hungary, is that there have been some progress registered. And actually, there is one more month given to Hungary to, again, look into the objections that were raised and to fulfill some of the reservations. So that's, I think, my latest information. So it's our position is that it's always better to do away with the difficulties rather than punish.
Any other questions? No, fine. We thank you for this presentation, and we hope that you reach your aims and goals during these six months of your presidency. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much once again. It's a pleasure.
Mali. Pero meta con la falda.
Kulma baqalna li naddu l-għolajtin fuq l-ġenta għanamlu għal-ħar wahda. Kem napruvaw il-minuti tal-laqa l-imis. Rijek ma' uxkommenti fuq il-minuti nissan uħdom pala approvati. Grazie a tutti. Non mi sono dichiarato l'amalua.